I explained on Wednesday night in our last lesson that the Antichrist would rise out of a 10-nation confederacy, and we believe that that confederacy is the European community, otherwise known as the European Common Market countries. We believe that view is supported all over the scripture, especially in the book of Daniel, because when Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream and he saw the great image of gold, head of gold, shoulders, silver, it represented the Gentile empires that began with Babylon. And when he got down to the 10 toes, which were part iron and part clay, they were an outgrowth of the legs, which were iron. And this kingdom that was part iron and part clay was represented by those symbols because it would be a kingdom that was fragile. Iron is strong, but iron and clay do not mix. And I told you that John, dying somewhere around 98 AD, could not possibly have known and understood everything that he was seeing, so he presented it to us in eternal symbols. Everybody say eternal symbols. Everybody that ever lived or would live would know that iron and clay don't mix. And so by representing these kingdoms like that, he is telling us that although this deceiver is going to come along and pretend that this kingdom is the strongest kingdom, that in actuality it will be fragile and subject to fail. And so when we read the book of Revelation, we need to see what God is saying and not what man is saying. Because man is always the counterfeiter. Man is always the one that will try, as they say in the street, to snow you. So I want to talk now about the middle of the week, or the middle of the 7.5-year period called tribulation. If you go with me to chapter 7 in Revelation, I'll just briefly talk about that. I'm not going to elaborate on that because this is the chapter in which the 144,000 are called on to minister primarily to the nation of Israel. And in verse 9 of chapter 7, it says, after this, that is, after the 144,000 were sealed so that they would not be hurt by any of the plagues and things that were going to come upon the earth, John says in verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, we made particular reference to the palms because this is the converts of the 144,000, which are primarily Jewish people, that are caught up after the church. And you notice that they have palms, which is significant of Jewish worship. You remember when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem? What did they have? They had palms. Not only did they have palms when he came riding into Jerusalem, but palms was a part of their ceremony that they had for many, many years. They had a ceremony where they would worship with palms and with willows. And this palm signified the worship of God. They have had to wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. If you read the rest of these verses, they do not sing the song, the new song of redemption, as in chapter 5. They do not have crowns, and they have come out of great persecution or tribulation, and nobody has been persecuted or been in tribulation in their history more than the nation of Israel. So this group coming out of tribulation is not just talking about the 7 years of tribulation. It's talking about coming out of immense persecution. And this is a Jewish company. And most interestingly, they serve God in his temple. The church never served God in his temple because we were specifically told that during the church age, we were the temple of the living God. So this is not the church. This is a Jewish company that is still serving God in the temple because God is not through dealing with them as a nation, and his original covenant with them is not yet complete. Everybody see that? So they still worship in the temple. All right. Now we are at the middle of this 7.5 year period. And I want you to reflect on the fact that by this time, the church has been caught up. Israel has been called back from all around the world, back to the land of Israel. They have now been evangelized by 144,000 Jewish virgin evangelists. And at this point in time, where we just read verse 9, a great company of them have been caught up and are around the throne with the rest of the church company. You with me? Bear that in mind. But the nation of Israel that is not caught up, the nation of Israel that is still, God is still has 3.5 years to deal with them according to his message to Daniel by the angel, 490 years or 70 weeks, I've still got to deal with you. And this last week or 7 years is the time of Jacob's trouble. Those people are still here. Now I want you to turn to Micah, the 7th chapter. And in the New International, the caption over the chapter is Israel's misery. I know it might take you a few minutes to find it. I was looking for it before, so I got there before you did. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, you know, back there. Did I say Jonah? Jonah, Micah, that's right. Micah 7. Now I'm going to read this out of the International. I want you to pay close attention to the language here and see if this does not seem to you like the nation of Israel looking around the rest of the world and suddenly discovering that they have no more friends and supporters. Listen to this. What misery is mine? New International. Just follow me in your King James. I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat. None of the early figs that I crave. The godly have been swept from the land. Not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The ruler demands gifts. The judge accepts bribes. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright, worse than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman has come, the day God visits you. Now is the time of their confusion. Do not trust a neighbor. Put no confidence in a friend, even with her who lies in your embrace. Be careful of your words, for a son dishonors his father, a daughter rises up against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, a man's enemies are the members of his own household. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me. Isn't that an amazing verse of scripture? King James says, woe is me. This is Israel speaking in anguish. The good man, meaning the godly man, has perished. And the Hebrew word there is abad min eretz, which literally means has vanished out of the world. The goodly man has vanished out of the world. And Israel is left without spiritual sympathizers. The world now is totally sinful. And Israel is left here among them. Can you picture that? All right. Now, I want to just back up a little and give you a little background, because so often when you preach on this subject, people say, ho-hum, they've been saying that all these years. Yes, they've been saying Jesus was coming since my grandmother and my grandfather's days. But in my grandmother and grandfather's days, Israel was not a nation. I'll go you one better. They've been saying Jesus was coming since Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. They've been saying Jesus is coming for the last 2,000 years. And the Bible says some people were going to say the Lord delays his coming and start eating and drinking and doing all kinds of things because they had no real knowledge of the signs to look for. But Israel is the key to end time prophecy. And Jesus said that this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. And in Israel, or in the Hebrew, a generation is anywhere from 47 to 50 years. Now, Israel became a nation in 1948. So as far as what Jesus had to say, that generation has not yet passed. You listening? Now, let me give you a little information. In 1957, the Treaty of Rome was signed by Italy, France, Belgium, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, and Germany. And it was the first step towards a united Europe. In 1973, Great Britain, Ireland, and Denmark were added. In 1981, Greece was added. And in 1986, Spain, Portugal, and Austria joined the European Common Market. There are presently 15,000 full-time employees working for the European community that's called the EC in Belgium. They are at the present time trying their best to have all of their money become common currency like ours is, and it will be called something like the ECU, something like that. All right? Pope John Paul, this present pope, has stated that he would like to shepherd a society of nations or a new world order. President Bush, when he was the president, began talking about a new world order. The New Age has a philosophy that a great calamity or occurrence of some kind is going to happen in this world, and following that, there will be peace and harmony in the universe. I want you to know that the devil always tells partial truths. There is going to be a great happening in this world. The church is going to be caught away. The converts of the 144,000, but the only peace that will come from the Prince of Peace, not some New Age order. Now, there are people that poo-poo this kind of stuff, and they say, yeah, there's one another one of those doom and gloom preachers. But I am compelled to tell you what I'm telling you, because God has given it to me to say. There are some preachers who don't study this subject at all, so God wouldn't give it to them to say, because they wouldn't know what to say. But I have been interested in history all my life, and in this particular subject all my life, and God has anointed me to say these things. All right. The rise of the man called Antichrist comes directly through the power of the devil. You need to know that. His rise also is with the permission of the Holy Spirit. Now, keep your finger where you are in chapter 8, I think we started. But go back to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. I have mentioned this scripture often, but there may be people here who never heard me say it and maybe didn't relate it to what we're talking about right now. 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to read from the first chapter down through the seventh verse. Or the eighth verse. The Apostle Paul, this is his, Thessalonica was the first church that he wrote to, and this is his second letter to them. And he says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord, everybody say, that's the second coming. And by our gathering together unto him, everybody say, that's the rapture. You notice he separated the two. that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Everybody say, the day of Christ referred to here is the second coming. He goes on and he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, that is the second coming, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. Everybody say, he will be revealed before the second coming of Christ. Not before the rapture. You clear now? All right. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. What temple of God? The temple that shall be constructed in Jerusalem, that the Jews will have gone back to temple worship in during this 7-year period. Is that clear enough? So that he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now Paul says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth or restraineth, that he there is the Antichrist, might be revealed in his time. He has a time to be revealed. You with me? Notice, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or restraineth, only he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. The he that is restraining is the Holy Spirit in the church. And when the Holy Spirit removes the church from the world, and God goes back to his dealings for 7 years with Israel, then it will be time for this man to be revealed. And we are so close to that till I can feel the breath. And then when the Holy Spirit's influence is removed, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Notice when he'll be destroyed? When he comes. You got the picture? The rapture will occur. The tribulation will occur. This man will be revealed. Jesus will come again and destroy him with the brightness of his coming. So, right off the bat, there's nothing for you to fear. I mean, you just think about this. I mean, forget the book of Revelation. Just think about this one scripture. If the Holy Spirit is restraining so that the Antichrist cannot be revealed until his influence is taken away, who lives in you? Jesus lives in you by his Spirit. Who else lives in you? The Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit is in the church, and this is the same Spirit that's preventing this so-called all-powerful man who is going to put everybody under his feet from being revealed. What are you worried about? I mean, if this Bible is true, that means if he came walking into the building right now and commanded us all to fall down and worship him, all we would have to say is in the name of Jesus. And he'd have to fall down and worship us. Come on now. Comfort ye one another with these words. It's the Holy Spirit that has to be moved out of the way so this person can even be revealed. Otherwise, he cannot be revealed. The church in the world today is keeping evil from taking over. And that's why Israel, when they suddenly find out that the church is gone, they say, woe is me. The godly man has perished out of the earth. Over to God, and there's none to help. And yet in that last verse I read you of Micah 7, they said, but I wait for my God, because down inside, of every Israeli person, they know that God keeps covenant to 1,000 generations, and they will not be utterly lost. You're talking about the Lord is good. Look at this now. He came unto his own. His own received him not. To them that received him gave he power to become the sons of God. But he didn't forget his own. Hello? Paul says in Romans 10:11-25, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and then all Israel will be saved. Paul, when will all Israel be saved? When the 144,000 Jewish evangelists begin to preach, Israel will be saved, and there will be a remnant that won't be saved, that will have to go through the tribulation, and God's mercy is so great that when the wrath of God begins to be poured out on this planet, God is going to hide the remnant of Israel so the Antichrist can't get them and his wrath won't fall on them. If that's not mercy, I don't know what is. And you worry about yourself, whether God loves you or whether God is going to protect you, or whether God is God going to protect somebody who is covered by the blood of Jesus. If he was willing to protect those persons who are still using animal sacrifice and have rejected his son, is he going to protect you? You better believe he is. So what are you worried about? Hallelujah. All right, let's go on. I'm going to jump now in the book of Revelation for the sense of chronology or time as to when it happens to chapter 13. I gave you the keys at the beginning deliberately so that when I read this, you wouldn't be like the woman who said, well, it must have been a mule. I want everybody to read this with me. Verse number one. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Let's just go back and make sense out of that. John speaking. I stood observing myriads of people. And I saw a system rise up out of the people, and there were 7 heads or 7 Gentile kingdoms over the space of this period of time. And there were 10 leaders of this 7 kingdoms. And upon each one of the kingdoms, there was a crown, and upon his head was a name of blasphemy. You got that? All right. The Antichrist will proceed from a 10-nation confederation, which is probably in existence today as the European Economic Community, because it bears a striking resemblance to the 10 horns of Daniel 7. Let me just take you back there for a moment. Keep your finger there. Go to Daniel 7. Look at verse number 7. Say amen when you get there. Verse number 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had how many horns? 10 horns. Notice verse 8. I considered the horns. Now the horns are leaders. You understand that? Kings. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. This is the Antichrist, whose influence destroys 3 of the nations of the European Community, and that brings it back down to the 10 nations that God has already prophesied it would be. There are presently 13, with others asking to join. You with me? Go to Revelation 12. You remember I told you there were 2 chapters in the book of Revelation that were synoptic. Chapter 6 was a synopsis of the whole 7-year period. Chapter 12 is a synopsis of the entire history of Israel. I'm not going to read it to you at this time, but I want you to go to verse number 3. Read it out loud. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Folks, all that means is John saw the devil in control of 7 Gentile empires that had over its history 10 kings. Is that clear enough? Is anybody here that doesn't know the 7 Gentile empires by now? There are. Yes, there are. Everybody say with me, Egypt?
Egypt.
1.
Assyria?
2.
Babylon?
3.
Persia?
4.
Greece?
5.
Rome?
6.
The revived Roman Empire?
Or the 10 toes of Daniel's image?
Or 10 nations out of which the Antichrist will arise?
Is the 7th.
You got me?
And the devil is behind all of them. And all of them ruled by controlling the economics of the world of their time, the politics of the world of their time, and the military of the world of their time. And that's what this 10-nation confederacy is going to do. You listening? Okay, so now you have another key. Every time you see 7 beasts, 10 horns, you know it's talking about empires of people that we're familiar with. I'll tell you another thing. Spiritual things are not divorced from natural things. I want you to keep this in your mind. From the time God scooped up the dust of the earth, which was not spiritual, and breathed into it himself, which was spiritual, God was saying to the human race, I will always interact with humanity. And there never has been a time when he didn't. And when he's not interact, well, there's no time when he isn't. But the other part of that coin is those that won't let him interact with them will, by necessity, have the devil interact with them. You're either going to worship God or the devil. You're not going to skate along in between in the neutral zone. You may not know you're worshiping the devil, but if you're not worshiping God, it is he that you are serving. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Go to the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. And look at verse number 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I'll get back to this chapter, but I just want to show you this. I will tell you the mystery of the woman. Now, this woman is not the woman of chapter 12. The woman of chapter 12 with the 12 stars is Israel. All right? This woman is the harlot. This is the false religious system that the devil has used throughout these 7 Gentile empires. You with me? Chapter 17. He says, I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. He tells you what he's talking about. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now let me take the mystery out of that for you. The Roman Empire was not defeated. It fell apart. No army, no other nation defeated the Roman Empire. What ceased, everybody think about this now. Anybody had any kind of history, you know that Rome was ruled by the Caesars. That was an imperial form of government. Everybody understand that? What changed was the imperial form of government came to an end, so you can say that the system That system died, but the political, military, economic system that caused that nation to be powerful still exists today, and it evolved into something else, and that was a federation
or number of independent nations in Europe are all descendants of the Roman Empire. Been fighting each other for hundreds of years. And suddenly today, you have a Franco-German army. Well, anybody that's as old as I am know that the French and the Germans hate each other. Been fighting each other for years, and still today, when that army walked through the streets of Paris, there were some people that were just absolutely bombed out of their minds to see the German army walking through Paris once again. But why? Because the forces are moving to bring God's thing into fruition in its time. Everybody understand me? England and France spent $17 billion to complete the Eurotunnel. It is complete now. You can take a train underneath the English Channel to Paris at 100 miles an hour. And when you get to Paris, there's the French have already set up a railroad system that you can then proceed on to Brussels at 186 miles an hour. It will take automobiles, and it's a rail link that is hooking up the capitals of the European world. All right? I mean, today. Verse number 12 in that chapter. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings. Couldn't be any plainer than that, could it? The 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet. What did he mean by that? At this writing, when John was writing, these 10 kings had received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. What does that mean? For a brief period of time, they're going to be given power along with the Antichrist. And Satan is the great counterfeiter and the great imitator. Those 10 kings are going to throw their crowns before the Antichrist, just like we're going to throw our crowns before Jesus and give him their power. You listening? All right. Okay. The revived Roman Empire is the last of seven Gentile world powers to plague the nation of Israel. I told you who they were. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, and the revived Roman Empire. Now, it was the Roman Empire which destroyed Jerusalem about 70 AD, a general by the name of Titus, just exactly like Jesus had predicted. You remember Jesus said, they were walking around the temple, and Jesus said about the temple site that not one stone will remain upon another. And that's exactly what happened. Less than 70 years later, the Roman army destroyed Jerusalem. And the last Roman system will be called the Beast, because it will be led through the personal charisma of this demon-controlled personality called Antichrist. Now, I want to paint a little scene for you. This person doesn't start out as a beast. He starts out as a military and political genius, somewhat like Hitler started out. If you know the story of Germany, Hitler was not the people's choice. Hitler was a compromise candidate between other candidates who couldn't seem to get their act together and anybody present a decent political platform to the Germans, who at that time were besieged by communism, and they were in the midst of a depression. And Hitler rose to power by giving them a whole lot of promises of what he would do. He promised the industrialists, if they would go with him, that he would see to it that they did good. And then he turned around and picked on the Jews because he needed a scapegoat to rally the German attention to somebody. He made the German people think that the Jews were their problem. And then he began to gather together people to support his cause by military might. And that's how the SS and the brown shirts first and the SS and all those people. And see, you need to know a little bit about history, because if you don't know about history, you make the same dumb mistakes over and over and over again. So this ruler is going to come to power in the same way. There is a person who was
the first person that began to talk about the European common market countries. I think his name is Spock. And he made a statement. It's recorded in a magazine. He said, we need a personality with charisma that can unify us. And this was his statement. And I don't care whether he is God or the devil, we will give him our support. That's what he said. And so guess what? They're going to get what they asked for. This man is going to rise up, and he's going to put together this political, economic machine that's going to benefit the Europeans. They're going to come to be a power. Understand? I explained to you before, Russia is going to make her move against Israel, and through the ingenuity of these European powers, Russia will be stopped. Israel will be beholden to them. You listening to me? And these European nations for the first 3.5 years will honor this man like we honor our president. But in the middle of this 7.5 year period, after Israel has come to depend on the fact that this contract and covenant, always remember the United Nations. When Israel became a nation, there was a motion or a law or a ruling passed in the Security Council of the United Nations that guaranteed Israel peace. That was a covenant. And this individual, like we have in the United States, is going to support this covenant, Israel's right to exist as a nation. You listening? In the middle of this period, he's going to break that covenant. And that will be the beginning of the time of Jacob's troubles. All right? All right. Let's go back to chapter 13. Ooh. I have so much to tell you that I just don't have time. So I'm going to move on. Ah, goodness. Let's go to verse number 3, chapter 13. And it's talking about this beast now. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now many people have said that the Antichrist is going to be killed and he will rise again like Jesus did. I don't believe that. I think that this is a reference to the fact that the old Roman Empire died, was considered dead, and it revived. All right? Listen. It revived. And they worshiped. Look what it says. And they worshiped the dragon. Who's the dragon? Who is the dragon?
Devil.
Say it loud.
Devil.
The dragon is the devil. And they worship the dragon. They're doing that already. People are doing it today. You need to wake up. People are worshiping the devil, folks, today, more and more openly than ever before. And it says, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, not an animal, but this system, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? You listening? You listening? All right. They worshiped Satan, who gave his authority to the Antichrist and to the Confederation, which they deemed invincible. Who can make war with us? You listening? All right, verse number 5. And there was given unto him, notice it was given unto him, he did not have it on his own. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years, in case you didn't know. He was given power to continue for 3.5 years. You notice the whole period is 7 years. But he is revealed at mid-tribulation and is given power to remain for 3.5 years. You listening? All right. And verse 6, and he opened his mouth Well, before I go there, turn back to Daniel 7. Just to confirm what I'm saying, that the Bible supports the Bible. All right, Daniel 7. I'm sorry, Daniel 9. Daniel 9. Verse number 26. Remember we were reading about the 70 weeks of Daniel? And it said, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, which we know was done in 70 AD. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations, or it shall be cut off by desolations, are determined. Verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many. That could be a direct reference to the fact that this person will confirm the covenant that was made in the United Nations to guarantee Israel peace. He will confirm it with many for 1 week, that is 7 years, according to this, the symbols in this chapter. All right? And in the midst of the week, or in the middle of the 7 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. What does that mean? That means Israel will be back to doing sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. And this man will cause it to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, meaning even unto the end. And that determined, the end determined, shall be poured upon the head of the desolator, who is him. I just wanted to read that to you and then go back to Revelation 13, verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle or temple and them that dwell in heaven. He's going to curse everybody. He's going to just, anything that was Christian or smacked of God in heaven, he's going to curse it. All right? Now notice verse 7, because this throws a lot of people. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. I want you to know that the saints that is talking about here in verse 7 is not the church. We're in heaven. It's not the converts of the 144,000. They're in heaven. It's the Jewish people with whom God still has a covenant during this last 7 years. He will make war with them. You understand that? Listen carefully. And he will be given dominion, power, was given him over all kindreds and nations and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Notice this. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Whoa! Condition. Everybody is going to worship him except those whose names are found written in the Lamb's book of life. You say, well, who might that be? People that won't worship him. People that won't take his mark. Do you have the picture? Here are people, they didn't make the rapture. They didn't get caught up with the 144,000. They're Jewish. They haven't got the revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, except this person comes along and he sets himself up as God, and they say, oh, no, you're not. And he says, well, you have to give up your life if you don't worship me. They're saying, I'll give it up rather than to worship you because I know there's a God. At the moment they make that decision, the angel says, all right? Because what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? All right? Does it make sense now? All right. So the Antichrist, who has helped subdue the Russian bear in World War III,
and engineered an Israeli-Arab peace accord will now be given satanic power. At this moment, mid-tribulation, is when Satan enters into this man exactly the same way that Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was a disciple of Jesus Christ. He wasn't a devil from the beginning. But when greed overcame him, the devil entered into him and he allowed it, and that's when he became the son of perdition. This is when this man is going to become the Antichrist. He hasn't always been the Antichrist. He's probably alive today. He is not the Antichrist now. But at some point when he gains all this power and the acclaim of nations, the devil is going to enter into him. My friend, the spirit of the adversary will take advantage of your weaknesses, your greed, your pride. He'll take advantage of anything he can and make you a proposition that you will hardly be able to refuse if you reject Christ. You need to know that the fact, if you are, in your own estimation, the weakest Christian that ever existed, I want you to know just the fact that the Spirit of God is in you keeps the enemy out. You cannot be overtaken by an evil spirit when the power of God is in you unless you invite him in. You may walk around scared, you know, and nobody's telling you to go somewhere where you don't have faith to stand. But I'm telling you that brand new Christians have walked into the middle of demonic situations and compelled the devil to leave. I'm just trying to impress on your mind that he ain't all he's cracked up to be. All right, let's go on. Chapter 13. Verse number 9. It says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. In other words, some of the people in this period, everybody understand what period we're talking about now? At this particular time, there are people who will be martyred for their belief. He says in verse number 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. This is important. And he had two horns like a lamb. Everybody say, like a lamb. In other words, this is deception. This person coming up wanted to seem like a lamb. All right? He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. All right? And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, meaning the Antichrist, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now, in other words, he is causing the people of earth to worship the system. You understand? This revived Roman Empire, as well as the person who represents it. And he doeth, this second beast, that's like a lamb, doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Are you listening to me? And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. All right? And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Well, now, that verse doesn't bother me, because some of the computers that they have now seem to me like they're alive anyway. They do all kinds of stuff, you know, I don't know whether they're alive sometime or they're not, you know. But this, he's going to have the power to cause this thing to seem as if it is really alive. All right? And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand. Anybody know about microchips? Or in their foreheads? Very simple.
Everybody is going to be programmed. You've seen it on television. I mean, all these movies they have now. You will, instead of going to the supermarket and running, have the salesperson run your card through the machine, you'll just run your hand through the machine. Because you will have a number. All right? And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, which means if you don't take his mark, you don't eat. Or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You with me? Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. Well now, everybody, the number of man is six. All right? 666 is simply the number of man self-exalted to a position of greatness. So don't run around looking for, I mean, don't be afraid to put 666 on your license plate. Have you got the Holy Ghost? If you got the Holy Ghost, put sixes all over your house, all over your car, anywhere you want to put them, because it's got nothing to do with nothing. If you've got the power of the Holy Ghost in you, don't be afraid of sixes, fives, one, three, seven, any number. Hello? People get so spooky. Oh, 666 on here. Did you see this 66? Oh, I can't move there. 666 Main Street. You can move in 555 and have it burned down. I mean, what's the difference? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to go back to Daniel 7 as I close. And I'll be in the New International. Because I'm going to stop here. And pique your curiosity so some of you come out. We had a good crowd on Wednesday. Amen. Your Wednesday night, folks, you learning anything? Amen. Make the rest of you jealous. Just by way of explanation, Daniel was in Babylon and the king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and that was the image, a head of gold and all that. That was the king's dream. But Daniel himself had a dream. This dream is very interesting. It's in chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, that was the king that succeeded Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel had a dream and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance of the dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea." Now you remember, sea, without talking about a specific body of water, people, right? This is fascinating. The first was like a lion. Everybody say, like a lion. And it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. I want you to understand that since these beasts represent systems of government, we need to find out who this is. Many theologians and people have tried to relate it to Nebuchadnezzar's dream, but it doesn't correspond with Nebuchadnezzar's dream. It corresponds to another period of history. And I submit to you, it corresponds to the period of history that we are presently living in, because any of you know who, what nation's symbol is the lion? Great Britain. Now look at this. Whose symbol is the eagle? Well now, it says the first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle, and I watched until its wings were torn off. If that is not a reference to the Revolutionary War, I don't know what is. The eagle's wings were torn from the lion. You with me? That puts us in the modern period in which we're living in. Now, to substantiate that, somebody has suggested that when it says that he was given the heart of a man, that the lion was forced to become humanitarian because without any wars, the British Empire voluntarily gave up their colonies. You listening? Verse number 5. And there before me was a second beast which looked like a bear. Whose symbol is the bear? Is it in our time? You better believe it is. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, get up and eat your fill of flesh. Now people, you know, speculate on who the three ribs are. It could be any of the three nations that they overtook. It might be the Baltic nations. It could have been whoever. Might have been Estonia, Latvia, and the other one there. I forgot with the three there together. But however, we know it's talking about Russia because that's the symbol. Remember I told you John and the other prophets used eternal symbols so that we'd be able to understand these things sooner or later? All right? After that, I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. And on its back it had four wings like those of a bird. This beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule. Now, there are many that conjecture as to what this is. But I feel that where it is placed just before the next one that we know will be this European Confederacy, it has to mean that this four-headed one, it are four areas of present-day political, economic influence. Now, you can probably name them. United States and the English-speaking people of the world would be one, wouldn't they? Wouldn't Asia be one, Japan and China? Wouldn't the Muslim world that controls oil, wouldn't they be another? And wouldn't Europe be another? I submit to you that those are the four areas of authority that this four-headed leopard-looking thing represents. And now we get to the next one. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. Notice, while I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully. By this time, we know that's Antichrist, right? All right. The fourth beast had large iron teeth, had 10 horns, or 10 kings, or leaders. And this we know to be the revived Roman Empire, or the European Community. And there are presently, as I speak, I believe 13 nations. And this little horn, or this person, causes three of the nations to be uprooted, which will eventually leave 10 nations. Now, there's so much else that I have to tell you, but I don't have time. But on Wednesday night, when this man walks into the temple and proclaims himself as God, God has himself two witnesses that stand up and begin to control the atmosphere and the plagues that God is going to send on his kingdom, just like Moses and Aaron in Egypt. And the plagues themselves are similar to what God poured out on Egypt to declare finally that he and he alone was God.